Good morning. It's August 21st. Our New Testament reading today is Mark chapter 16, in which we read about the resurrection and ascension of the Lord Jesus. I'm going to read to you once again from Brother Lou Sargent. I read, "When Sabbath ended at sunset, the women were able to buy their aromatic spices." Mark mentions especially the same three whom he had described watching the crucifixion: Mary Magdalene, Mary of James, and Salome. But this does not exclude others. Nothing could be done till daylight, and so at dawn on the first day of the week, they lost no time in setting out, arriving when the sun had risen. Only Mark records the problem that filled their minds on the journey, and a verb in the imperfect tense shows that they kept on reverting to it. Who will roll away the stone for us from the door of the tomb? They could not do without men's help for that task. Discussing it as they went, their heads were close together and bent forward, but on coming within sight of the tomb, they looked up. A startling fact met their eyes. They could see at a distance that the stone was already rolled back. It must have been with eerie qualms that they came up to the door and entered. Then they made a discovery which, for the moment, drove from them all self-control. The tomb had a living occupant. On the right-hand side sat a young man in a long white stola, not the normal garment of a workman or a visitor to the tomb. That Mark intends it to be understood he was an angel is beyond doubt. He spoke, "Do not be amazed," or "Stop being utterly amazed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." He indicated the rock shelf where no longer a dead body reposed. "But go," said the young man, "tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him as he told you." Only this gospel records the special mention of Peter. He is not put in a position of eminence. The other disciples were first referred to. But Peter, who might be dreading that after his denial he had fallen permanently from the favour of Jesus, is given gracious assurance that he is still included among the disciples. In the first shock, it may well be that the women would be rooted to the spot, and so would hear in full the words spoken to them. But on recovering the power of movement, they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had come upon them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Their silence must have been short-lived. Though Mark says nothing of their breaking it, Matthew and Luke show them communicating their discovery to the disciples. As so often, Mark is, at this point, particularly full and detailed, and shows vividly the overwhelming effect on the women of the angelic announcement and the evidence of the forsaken tomb which confirmed it. I'm going to turn on a couple of pages in Brother Sargent's book now and read you a couple of paragraphs about the end of the gospel record. The final brief record of the ascension does not fail to include an allusion to Psalm 110, which was to be a staple element in the apostolic witness to Jesus. "He sat down at the right hand of God." It is an echo of the Lord's own words to the high priest. The last verse covers the experience of many years in summarizing the fulfillment by the apostles of their commission and the fulfillment by Jesus of his promise. "And they went forth and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by signs that attended them." Amen.